Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells in the dugout, joined by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hang on a sec, I've got to make sure that you don't rip my shirt off so that you reveal the buzzer that is attached to my arm to let me know which pitch is coming.
That's you've got your phone in your hand. You don't appear to be wearing an Apple Watch. You've got your sleeves pulled up far enough, unless you've got some sort of like armband around your.
No, have you not seen the Altuve stuff?
I guess not. So I will admit, I have been sick the last 2 days. Tuesday I started feeling sick, went home, went to bed early, and I know stuff has blown up. But I dragged my ass in here today in part because I knew this was going to be a pretty zesty program. We are hoping to get Chris Zook out of a meeting and on the phone in a few minutes.
Let me update you a little bit, even more, before we dive into the full thing.
Okay.
So a burner account of an MLB player claiming to be Carlos Beltran's niece, which has had inside information on Beltran before, including the fact that he was 4 days ahead of his actual hiring by the Mets, announced it, and 24 hours before he got fired, this burner account called it as well.
Okay.
Put out some tweets.
He mutually parted ways.
Sure. Put out some a string of tweets claiming that the players were using vibrating bandages attached to their arms and or chests to let them know as late as 2019.
So this is post garbage can?
Yes.
Okay.
To let them know instead, and there would be somebody hitting a button to let them know, and it would vibrate with the bandage. And then Ken Rosenthal said, yeah, I guess that kind of explains the suspicious thing when he hit the walk-off in the ALCS against the Yankees, Altuve did, and he wouldn't let his teammates tear his shirt off.
Oh.
So now internet sleuths are looking for, like, the outline of bandages under jerseys and stuff like that.
Interesting. Yeah, there's been so much fallout from the Astros cheating. And let's be honest, it's not just the Astros, of course. Red Sox and Yankees have both been implicated by the Athletic and others. Ooh, no. Yes, prior to the letter from Rob Manfred.
Right.
The illegal use of video room footage.
Right.
They were implicated as being one of the ones that did it.
The Yankees claim that they were ordering a pizza. They were using the bullpen phone to order a pizza. That's the claim. And the MLB has come out and said that they levied a fine for quote-unquote improper use of the bullpen phone and nothing more, and that they said that there was no evidence of the Yankees cheating. And I'm not here to defend the Yankees, but as of right now, it falls under the allegedly category more than the definite category that is the Red Sox and the Astros.
Right. I think it was maybe Jason Stark on The Athletic talking about the 8 teams.
Including the Blue Jays.
Unnamed sources. I mean, obviously Mike Fiers is the one who put his name to the Astros claims.
Correct.
But there have been other unnamed sources who have said that basically there are eight teams that they can kind of point to as having practiced something along these lines of using the video replay rooms for sign stealing.
I have to assume the Texas Rangers are involved in that as well, because the two big ringleaders, as put forward by the Manfred report that resulted in the suspensions we're going to talk about, said that a veteran pitcher claimed that he had used it on a veteran player. Sorry, not a pitcher. A veteran player claimed that they had used it on a previous team. Now, that would make that obviously this is a little bit of speculation, but to me that says Beltran and the team he came from before was the Texas Rangers.
Right. Now, obviously, Cora implicated as one of the participants on when he was on the Astros, and so then moves along to the Red Sox, who have great success under his management.
Yep.
Obviously, win the World Series in that first year. He gets the Skipper of the Year, and it's very likely that he took his practices from Houston and duplicated them. To a T.
Yep.
Weirdly, same results.
Oddly, same results. Scary, same results.
So he is let go by the Red Sox. So before even the MLB report on the Red Sox,
he was
out,
named more than anybody else in the MLB's report about the Astros.
About the Astros,
11 times, and made it very, very clear that he was the head honcho in implementing the quote-unquote banging scheme.
Right. So management on the Red Sox says, you know what, we're not even going to wait till you get the Red Sox report done. No. This guy's gone. Carlos Beltran, who had been the newly named Mets manager, he and the Mets have a conference where they quote-unquote mutually part ways. So Van Wagenen, the GM of the Mets, and this is one thing that I was reading last night, I guess, on The Athletic, was he was a player agent with links to the Astros.
Yes.
Prior to becoming GM of the Mets. And some questions around what he may or may not have known about Carlos Beltran prior to hiring Beltran.
I think that's paper, like papyrus thin, flimsy. Because like most of the time, agents don't talk to their players about a lot of things. Right, like the agents are there specifically to make sure that the creature comforts are all taken care of and lined up, to take care of other appearances and to worry about contract stuff. I have a hard time believing with all the clients that he has that Scott Boras is on a day-to-day communication level with every single one of his clients and knows everything that's going on in the clubhouse, especially something that is pretty illegal. I'm really, really willing to bet that most of these guys keep that a secret from
don't tell their agents.
Don't tell their agents.
Right. So we're left with three teams about a month out from spring training searching for managers.
Yeah, it's not like there aren't a large number of pretty highly touted managers that are out there and available. You know, I've heard that the Astros are looking at Dusty Baker, which I think would be a mistake. John Gibbons, which, as much as I love Gibby, is probably a mistake. Bruce Bochy, which I think is the most interesting of that group. And I think that a lot of those guys are probably looking in and around there. Ozzie Guillen threw his name out there today saying that, like, hey, like, interview me. I've won a World Series. I'd like to be a part of any of these teams. You know, and of course, there's always up-and-comers that
this is what I'd like to see is an opportunity for up-and-comers.
You know, up-and-comers.
If you're going
to
clear house,
take over,
bring in some new blood.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, there's no shortage of smart guys that know what they're doing out there. That can fill in the shoes for these kind of guys. Do we want to talk about the punishments?
Okay, let's do it.
So MLB basically lopped the head off of two Astros drafts, taking away their first and second round draft picks for the next 2 years. They levied the maximum $5 million fine at the Astros and have suspended A.J. Hinch and Jeff Lunau for
a year
each. Of course, the Astros did fire both of them. And in the report, Manfred and the MLB made it very incredibly clear that even if you don't know what's going on, as a manager and a GM, you are culpable for what is happening in your clubhouse, and you will be punished even if you are not, you will be punished even if you are not implicated in it. And I think so, and Duke will get on here in
Hinch,
a second.
Hinch was implicated in the sense that he was aware this was happening.
Right.
Now they could not prove that he knew.
Right, but I have a hard time.
All the way up to GM level.
I have a hard time believing that Luhnow didn't know. Hinch looks the best in the report, even though he didn't like directly say anything, quote unquote. He sabotaged the materials for this, the components for this on multiple occasions. And the you know, the players saying that he didn't explicitly come out and say it and they would have stopped. If someone's going in there and breaking your monitors and your gear, that I think that's a pretty explicit, you should cut this this stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
But Hinch looks the best, but I think Hinch will likely get another job in baseball, but I think Luhnow is too nuclear to touch. And I think that he won't be involved in baseball, at least at anywhere near a major level for the rest of his life. I think Hinch will probably end up as a manager at some point in time. I don't know if it's 2021, but I'd be willing to bet before 2025, Hinch is a manager of an MLB team again. That being said, I do think that this, especially if Cora gets a lifetime ban, which it's sounding more and more increasingly like that's going to be the case. I think that this is, and Zook will come on in a second and tell you otherwise. I think this is more than enough punishment to deter it. We had talked about how.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he does want to. He wants to throw the book at them in a.
Right, and I mean, I think there's a case for a lot for some of the players, especially if you know they're the ones that are working very very difficult and hard at implementing this sort of thing, but. You know, when you're punishing somebody that hard and you're saying that like ignorance is not an option for not getting punished, you have to believe that managers and general managers from now on will be increasingly cognizant and diligent about what's going on in their clubhouse, and they will put a stop to this sort of thing because a lot of these guys don't want to lose their jobs and don't want to face potentially never managing in the league again.
So I said earlier the eight teams, it was actually Tom Verducci who had reported, this is from Astros personnel who told MLB investigators that eight other teams, including the Red Sox, used this technology to steal signs in 2017 and 2018. So seven teams other than the Red Sox.
Right.
A lot on the hook. There
have been other lists I've seen, and basically if I'm off the top of my memory, this is paraphrasing from another Athletic article I saw, and I can't remember who wrote it, so my apologies. I'll go back and I'll try and find it. But the other names that apparently are implicated in this sort of thing are other than the Astros and the Red Sox were the Brewers, the Rangers, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Cardinals, which shouldn't really surprise anybody.
No, I mean, this is the...
And the Mariners, surprisingly.
The weird link from not a weird link, but the direct link between the Cardinals and the Astros has been...
hilarious.
Cause for subterfuge and misdeed on more than one occasion.
Yep. Somebody ended up in prison over it.
Yeah, not surprising at all. Yeah, I mean, obviously the MLB will continue to investigate some of these other claims. Zook, I'm still waiting because he texted me that he's backed up in this meeting that he's at in terms of getting on the phone.
Sure, sure.
But he does kind of want to throw the book at them in a pretty hard way. But the piece that I read, as far as the. Like some of the personnel on other teams have basically like asked for them to pull an NCAA and revoke their title in the same way that they vacated a Heisman, vacated a national title.
Vacating a championship, I think, is really silly.
It's never been done.
It's never been done in Major League Baseball. And the two organizations that regularly vacate titles are both seen as jokes.
Well,
the NCAA and the IOC
are
both seen as complete jokes because, you know, they just don't have control over what's going on. And, like, you know, vacating titles and medals is, I think, ridiculous.
The... the other thing, you know, like the trickle down effect of if you did this is, okay, is their opponent then the title holder from that year, or is there no title holder? If you're vacating that season, are you taking away all their wins and then just assuming that they hand all those wins over to the other teams? Things like batting titles, which
yeah, if
the
so, then
one.
Like what happens if the team, you know, like in the year that the Astros won, you know, they won the division. Well, what happens if who was second in that division that year? The Oakland A's, right?
Yeah, I think it was.
So what? The Oakland A's make the playoffs instead, and then. And then what do the Oakland A's then run the table? Like, I just think it's so silly because like you can't, it's a whole entire game of what ifs, and vacating that title, completely ignores anything that could have happened. Otherwise they won the title and it's fine to just say like
put an asterisk beside it. This is the thing, the Stark piece that, I read, that I screenshotted this quote was, you know, the suggestion that Manfred should revoke the Astros title is preposterous. Chris Suk, is that you?
What have we talked so far today?
So we've talked about the punishments. We are on to the thought that you have espoused on our text chain, and about whether that's a thing that should happen. And I was just reading a quote from Jason Stark from The Athletic, saying the suggestion Manfred should revoke the Astros title is preposterous. Baseball, as it showed in its response to the steroid era, does not and should not rewrite history. And,
okay.
You missed Brian saying that the two organizations that have revoked titles, the IOC and the NCAA, are not exactly seen as exemplary organizations.
Okay, that's fair enough. But let's, and I'm sure, you know, well, we could talk literally days about this because I think this is as big as it's ever been in baseball for a long time.
We're going
time,
back
right?
100 years.
Yeah.
To a scandal of this.
Yep.
Yeah, the Black Sox, right? This is it, right? And to me, all of the above, right? To me, if people have read anything about this, this is outrageous what has happened here. There's a line and then there's another line, right? And so to me, Major League Baseball, I would go to the opinion is, what deterrent has this been?
The argument that it's actually been a pretty big deterrent because these guys, the fact that Major League Baseball has come forward and said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're like, there's ignorance is not an excuse. We're going to levy heavy punishments at the manager and the general manager, regardless of whether or not they know about it. I think it's a good deterrent because it is going to force these guys who are heavy parts in their clubhouse to be more diligent and cognizant of what's going on in their clubhouse, and they're going to put a stop to it because it's not worth it for those guys.
Okay.
And they're the ones that are in charge.
Okay, let me give me 2 minutes for a soapbox here, all right?
Sure.
So let me just say this. So I've been reading a whole bunch about this stuff because it's just so fascinating in this day and age, right? Now, this is the age of technology, right? Baseball can't get away from it. Any sport can't, right? Here's the thing. I read something about this. I don't know, you know, 100% proof about this, but there is something about that the A's had brought this up a year ago about banging trash cans. Think about this for a second. We're talking about banging trash cans, right? Major League Baseball knew about it. This was an unknown secret, or a known secret pretty much throughout baseball. Did nothing about this. Mike Spears doesn't bring this out. Nothing happens. They don't do anything about this. They sit on this for a whole year. Nothing. People knew about this, right? Same thing about steroids, right?
Well, Brian Cashman apparently claimed that he levied multiple formal complaints about against the Astros about this.
Fair enough. And still nothing happened. Here's my point, right? My point is going to this is that until literally a critical mass on this became from all parts that they finally say, okay, now we're going to do something. We're going to suspend them for a year. We're going to put a fine, and that's it. What's a $5 million fine? You want a World Series. Both organizations want a World Series. They would do it again for $5 million. These guys are...
Yeah, but that's only part of the punishment, Zook, and that's
okay,
the thing.
On,
it's
on.
Only part of the punishment.
What punishment is it to the owner? So the owner who owns a team knows nothing about this. You own these franchises, and you know nothing about what your employees are doing. I find that very hard to comprehend.
Some guys are hands-off.
Okay, so the owner walk away scot-free. These two guys are the only two guys who did this, right? Or the three now that all three managers got implemented on this, right? a $5 million fine, and that's it. And they keep going. They keep their World Series titles, and everyone, hey, we dealt with it. We're all good. Let's go forward. I don't buy it. I don't think it's enough.
I think it's a deterrent.
A deterrent is, hey, okay, we slapped your wrist. Don't do it again, okay?
No, this is
the
a deterrent.
Is they won their World Series that
Great,
way.
That's fine. They it's going to have an asterisk, and nobody's going to look at it the same way ever again, yeah. ever.
They
and
still got it. They still got it.
Great, that's fine.
Yeah, you can't
sell T-shirts anymore about it.
Why can't you vacate the title? Why can't you do that? You want a big deterrent? Don't ever do that again. You don't win.
Yeah, but vacating the title, it throws a whole bunch of what ifs into question, and it doesn't fix anything. Vacating doesn't fix anything, Zook. Vacating the title is all it does is make people like you excited about that, saying, "Oh, they vacated the title." They're never going to be able to celebrate it again. They already had the parade.
They have a banner up there. They're never taking down that banner, are they?
Yeah, but nobody else other than the Houston Astro fans are going to look at that and say that's legitimate. Nobody ever in the history of the game is going to look at that banner as legitimate ever again.
So in the record book forever, being that World Series title.
Yeah, there's going to be
the White Sox. The Black Sox, the 1990, that they didn't change the result.
They didn't change the result of that World Series.
Obviously, the players coming out of it got a lifetime ban.
And
obviously,
they didn't vacate the White Sox pennant that year either. So if they're not going to vacate it for literally throwing a series, I think vacating it is and there is I still think this is a huge deterrent, Zook. It's still a huge deterrent.
Cheating wasn't even a guarantee that they would win that series.
No,
it gave them an edge, and certainly they used that edge. But it's not the same as like outright throwing something
Plus,
where you know.
On top of that, a lot of stats.
If you know what's coming,
a lot of stats guys have shown it didn't really help them all that much.
You're telling me, okay, so the Astros.
It's not like everyone hit 700 in the series.
The stats?
They were 8-1 in the series.
And this isn't me defending the cheating. It's cheating and it's wrong and it needs to be punished.
I'm defending about that Major League Baseball is covering it up by saying, hey, look what we've done.
They're not covering it up.
They're not covering it up.
No. They're covering up about that they didn't do anything prior to this. That another team won a World Series after the fact that people already said that in 2017 the Astros did it. Then the Red Sox did it in 2018. And to say that in the baseball of all things, if you know what pitches are coming, it is a huge advantage. It's not throwing the game, but it's still a massive advantage.
It's an advantage.
If it wouldn't be such an advantage, why would they do it?
I'm going to agree that it's an advantage. I don't think I'm going to go as far to say it's a massive advantage.
8-1, the Astros were in that postseason at home. The one time they lost, I read about this, is that the pitcher who was on there for the Dodgers knew that they were doing the banging and stuff, and they changed their pitcher count all the way through that game because they had to try and avoid what the Astros were doing.
I still think this punishment is a strong deterrent. $5 million is not...
It was the max they can do.
It was the max they can do, and it's not nothing. Lopping the head off of two of their drafts is extremely significant.
In the draft that where they pick is late in the round...
Go back and look at what happened...
Go to the international.
Go back and look at what happened to the Cardinals when they had a bunch of their draft picks revoked, and it wasn't nearly as many as this. Go look at those drafts and tell me who's coming out of those drafts for the Cardinals over the next couple years. The answer is nobody. Those drafts are horrendous.
The draft is not like the NFL draft or NHL draft.
Right.
In Major League Baseball, these things are projected 4 or 5 years down the road. And then even when they're going to get a draft, Astros or the Red Sox, they'd be very low on the drafting.
It still matters.
Great. Guess why? Because they cheated. Yes.
It's a deterrent. This is, whether or not you want to admit it, Zook, this punishment is a deterrent. Is a deterrent. The only thing different I wish they could have done about this is punish the players, but they can't. Because of it's not written to the CBA. There is no meaningful way in which the MLB could have punished any of these players without it being tied up in litigations and arbitration until the end of time. The only way that this can possibly get fixed is in the next CBA, the MLB implements or collectively bargains for a punishment for this kind of technological cheating. And based on the responses on social media from a lot of other players, from a lot of other teams, including Evan Longoria, Trevor Bauer, Alex Wood, Cody Bellinger. The players on the other teams want there to be something done about this, and so I imagine that we're going to see something in the next collective bargaining agreement very, very similar to what the steroid punishment is. And I think that this is based on what the MLB has the power to do and also to be a strong deterrent, this is as far as they can go. They're going to levy a massive suspension or ban at Alex Cora. I bet, and I think that this is punishment enough. It's a deterrent.
They have a limited amount of tools at their disposal, right? Like when you think back to that 1919, Judge Landis had basically carte blanche.
Yeah,
right. Like his free agency didn't, like there was none of the like player rights existed. All of that stuff comes around, you know, the time of the MLBPA and Curt Flood and a lot of like much more recent history that Rob Manfred only has a limited toolbox from which to construct the punishment. And he went to the max. Admittedly, like, you know, something like the managerial, he could have created a lifetime ban for a Hinch or a Luhnow.
What about the ban for the owner? For the owner who owns this team.
The owner who pays Rob Manfred. Yeah, no. I hate to break it to you. The way that the structure of the commissioner is beholden to the owners. Mm-hmm. And unless the majority of the owners...
No one should be above the
agree.
Right?
Well, no, look, I'm not disputing this. But the likelihood of a commissioner being able to turf an owner, it has to be a situation like we saw with Sterling in the Clippers or something.
Yeah,
it has to be.
But this is still going to be a deterrent, I think, going forward, because none of the general managers and none of the managers are going to want this thing to happen because it's their livelihoods. It's their livelihoods, and they're still in control of these things.
And if there's been 8 teams implicated in this, there are 8 owners who are going to vote against it.
Yeah.
I don't want to, because we're going to agree to disagree on this, because I feel that there's still going to be people who are going to push the limits here. Even if it's out there.
There's always going to be people that are going to try and push the limits.
Limit pushing.
And regardless of whether or not you vacate a title, there's still going to be people trying to push the boundaries and
limits. And even if you close all the video review rooms or put things on lockdown, there are going to be people who
vacate titles in the NCAA, they vacate medals in the IOC, and they still catch cheaters every single year.
But you know what? That stain is even more of a deterrent to me. That's all.
I disagree. Well,
it's not a deterrent. It's not a deterrent. Catching people
cheat. But we
can
agree to disagree. I got it? Because to me, vacating titles.
But you're wrong.
Absolutely.
We can agree to disagree, but you're wrong about this. It's obviously not a deterrent in the NCAA. So if it's not a deterrent there, Zook, why would it possibly be a deterrent in Major League Baseball? It's not going to be.
Those teams got crushed because they had... They put...
Everyone still knows that Reggie Bush is a Heisman Trophy winner, despite the fact that it's not on any page anywhere. Everyone knows that he won that Heisman Award.
How about this? Lance Armstrong. Right? He won 7 titles. They vacated all the titles there. You don't think that was a deterrent?
He's still the most famous cyclist of all time.
Because also he was a cheater.
Still the most famous cyclist of all time. And when you ask someone, who's Lance Armstrong? The common person is going to be like, didn't he win a bunch of bike races? Vacating the titles didn't change anything about that.
Most people say, isn't he the guy who cheated?
No.
That's what most people say.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
They don't.
Okay, Brian. We're going to agree to not to.
It's okay, Zook. You're wrong. It's okay to be wrong occasionally.
I'm not wrong about this.
It's okay to be wrong occasionally, Zook.
You're not wrong. I'm not wrong.
I know I'm not
you're
wrong.
Right.
Thank you.
Opinion.
Thank
I'm
you for
right
agreeing
about,
with me. I'm not wrong right. about this. It's a deterrent, and vacating the title
it
isn't going to change anything about that.
It's not a deterrent. That's all I'm saying in my opinion. In your opinion, it is. It's not the other way. And the good thing about this, we care that much about baseball. So yeah, I have these arguments because that's the best thing about it. Because we want this game to go forward and not have this happen again. And let's hope it doesn't. And we'll see what happens going forward, right? I want to end this on a good note here. No, I mean, that was, you know, that's not, it's just, it's a negative on this, on the baseball. But I wanted to say congratulations to the Twinkies for finally doing something on the free agent market.
Yeah.
They got their man.
We'll address that in a little more detail next week, I think.
Very exciting for the Twins, when everyone's
calmed down a little bit.
Very exciting for the Twins.
I do want to tip my cap, though, to the Giants and new manager Gabe Kapler, who hired and announced Alyssa Nacken. To his assistant coaching staff. She is
super
the first
cool.
woman to hold a coaching position on a major league staff.
Super cool.
And that's some great news, as reported by Maria Guardado on MLB.com. And so in the world of coaches and managers, something positive to report in the last little bit. But obviously, a lot of people looking for jobs right now, and some of them won't be having jobs for quite a while.
Hey, there's three openings now. You know, there's going to be someone is going to fill those spots very quickly, right? There's capable people out there, and you know, we go from here, right? I mean, I'll tell you this: it just shows that people, you know, still care about baseball, right? I mean, this is the biggest thing that's been out there for a while here, and people have strong opinions both ways, and that's a good thing in regards to hopefully what Mike Fears did there is, and you know. Some people slam him for doing that, but if he didn't do it, we wouldn't get to this stage here to try and make it better so everyone's on the same playing field going forward.
No, definitely tipping my cap to Mike Fears for doing this. All right, that's it for the Bench Jockeys. We will be back next week. Stick around for Amy Goodman and Democracy Now, and then at 1 o'clock, the Pity Party with all the sad hits.